This week's Torah portion is called Emor, from Leviticus 21:1 through 24:23. And there was no shortage of subjects we could have covered. The Torah portion contains regulations for the priests regarding the sanctity of the priesthood. It instructs that animals brought for sacrifice were to be without blemish. It goes through the feast days, the oil, the showbread, and it even has example of death for blasphemy. So again, there was quite a few things that we could have explored, but the thing that caught my attention was the reality where it talks about a priest shall not rend his garments. It's been a subject that I've sort of had on my mind a little bit recently, and so when I came across that, I thought, what a perfect opportunity to go in and explore that a little further. And so that's what we're going to really talk about. And just think of it this way. It's just like a ripple, you know, that starts in the middle of the ocean, can eventually become a tidal wave. This is similar to this verse in Scripture. So we have to ask ourselves, what is the rending of garments? What is that to do with in Judaism? Well, a lot of the time it has to do with mourning. We see that in the fact that this part of the Torah portion starts to speak about death and basically instructing that the priests shouldn't defile themselves except for the death of a close relative, and then quickly goes into this subject. So we're going to go ahead and read that. It's located in Leviticus 21, and we're going to read Leviticus 21, verse 4 through 10. So if you'll turn there. Leviticus 21, verse 4 through 10, and it says, "But he shall not defile himself, being a chief man among his people, to profane himself. They shall not make baldness upon their head, neither shall they shave off the corner of their beard, nor make any cuttings in their flesh." Now, part of why it states this, too, is if you look at other cultures, some of the things that they did concerning mourning had to do with shaving their head and cutting themselves. Okay, so part of that is, you know, we touched on that a few weeks ago about not making yourself common, you know, not being part of the rest of the people, being set apart. So we'll continue. "They shall be holy unto their God, and not profane the name of their God. For the offerings of the Lord made by fire, and the bread of their God, they do offer. Therefore they shall be holy." So again, it's being set apart. They have to be holy just as Yahweh is holy. Verse 7, "And they shall not take a wife that is a harlot, or profane neither shall they take a woman put away from her husband, for he is holy unto his God. Thou shalt sanctify him therefore, for he offers the bread of thy God. He shall be holy unto thee, for I, the Lord, which sanctify you, am holy. And the daughter of any priest, if she profane herself by playing a harlot, she profanes her father, she shall be burnt with fire." And then verse 10 talks about the part that I want to focus on. "And he that is the high priest among his brethren, upon whose head the anointing oil was poured, and that is consecrated to put on the garments, shall not uncover his head, nor rend his clothes." So what does rending the clothes mean? What does rending the garments mean? Well, quite literally, it was the tearing of the garments, okay? And one of the things I want to do is, first of all, what's the significance of rending the garments in Judaism? Well, as we already noted, it's a representation of grief, of deep sorrow. You know, they're sort of showing that at this point, everything else that's external is no longer important. I'm going through, it's almost like a broken heart, you know, and they're representing that my heart is broken, just like, look at my clothes, I'm tearing my clothes, right? So that's just real quick. It's as in a broken heart. Kareia is the Jewish custom of those mourning the loss of a deceased relative to rend their clothes. Okay, so that's kind of, and it's been an ancient custom for some time, and we're going to see that in a moment. But let's look at how does this rending of garments impact us today? To find that, we have to look at the Torah to find some examples. I can't get through all of them, but there's some examples of rending of garments in the Torah. So one example is in Genesis 37, 34, where it talks about Jacob rending his clothes when he recognizes the tunic of his son Joseph, acknowledging that a beast must have devoured him. Okay, and in this case, it can be associated with the mourning. I could also see it in this case slightly associated with the destruction of the truth. Keep in mind that, you know, Joseph's brothers lied to Jacob. So there's a slight correlation there too with the destruction of the truth. Okay? And so that's kind of some of what I want to look at is the different aspects. They lied about his brother's faith, of course. So in looking at that and seeing that it possibly has something to do with destruction of truth in addition to mourning, it sort of put me to think, what else could it have to do with? Could it have to do also with introspection, loss, change? So we're going to look at some more of that. Leviticus 13:45. This is quite interesting because it's talking about a leper, okay? Leviticus 13:45 says, "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean." It's interesting because that's exactly what it tells the priest not to do in this Torah portion. Don't rend your clothes, don't shave your head bare, okay? So what could this have to do with? Well, I feel like it had to do with introspection. It had to do with, again, exposure. You know, the leper person who had the clothes wasn't exposed to the outside, but then he rent his clothes, and now there's an exposure there. There's an introspection that has to be done to search within yourself, you know? And so I think it has to do with that a little bit. And the truth being exposed. You know, this is about truth. Here it is. Here's the real, you know, what lies beneath. We no longer care in this case about the outward appearance, but are concerned with deeper matters, internal matters in this case. So again, we talked about rending of clothes having to do with mourning. We talked about it having to do with exposure, introspection. Okay, now let's talk about what it has to do with change. Okay, and this is after what I'm going to read is 1 Samuel 15:27. This is after Samuel tells Saul that he's been rejected as king of Israel for his disobedience. So 1 Samuel 15:27 through verse 28 says, "And Samuel turned about to go away. He laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle and rent it." So he split it, tore it. "And Samuel said to him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than you." So here we're introduced to a renting of the clothes that signified a change, meaning Yahweh took the kingdom from him. You know, so it was a representation of change. There's another instance in 1 Kings 11:11 that says, "Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, For as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statute, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant." So it's kind of the trend of taking the kingdom, rending it from one person and giving it to another. So where does this take us? In addition, I want to mention that in Joel 2:13 talks about rending your hearts and not your garment. Again, perhaps talking about changing your heart, looking inside, you know. So where does this take us? Well, of course, I read Matthew 26:65-66. So if you will turn with me there, Matthew 26. And basically, this is where Yeshua answers in truth who his identity. He reveals his identity to the high priest. Okay, 26, 65 through 66. And it says, then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold now, ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. So here it talks about, again, the subject that we touched on, which was, you know, a breaking of truth. In the priest's mind, he had spoken blasphemy, which is breaking of the truth of God and who he is. So he, in this case, took it upon himself to rend his clothes. But in doing that, what symbol does that do? What's the priest really doing here? And it kind of, we had it, you know, not too long ago in today's age, we saw that the Pope, and I'm not by any means saying, you know, I'm just making a comparison here, but the Pope, who for the Catholic people was, you know, God's man on earth, quit. Right? He retired. So basically, he gave up his role. It's the same thing as the high priest is doing here. By rending his clothes, he's given up his role as the high priest. The high priest, remember, was supposed to make atonement for the people at the designated time. So he's giving up that role. And of course, Yahweh gives that role to Yeshua. It's interesting, too, in that respect, that this was not the only garment that was rent, but soon after Yeshua's death, the veil was rent. The veil was torn from top to bottom. The veil, remember, was the thing that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. So it's interesting, what could that mean? Because one of the things I read about was that in Judaism, they sort of looked at the veil as being the hem of God's garment. So what could it possibly mean if the veil was torn from top to bottom, and if that veil was the representation of God's garment, and then you took into account the fact that it happened after Yeshua gave up the ghost, yet before Yeshua was buried into the ground? Could it possibly mean, you know, that was God's mourning for the loss of his son? Could it mean that it was his mourning in that his heart was broken, that his son had to die? You know, I'm just proposing this. This is not necessarily, it's something for you to consider, go back and study for yourselves. You know, but it's just quite interesting, if that was the case, you know. And so again, I think the thing for us to do is just to really realize that what that meant, what the priest having given up his role meant for us. That separation, we now had access. You know, not only with the priest rending his garment, but also with the rending of the veil. And that's just a beautiful thing. That God put that plan. You know, again, what was the garment representing? The garment represented the covenant, the truth. You know? So it's just quite interesting if you put all those things together and see those ripples as they start from one end of Scripture and reverberate and become bigger and tidal waves at the end. Baruch Hashem. Bless His